Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It's the 14th of December, and the rolling hills of Tennessee are white, which is so fantastically unusual that I can't remember another December with the rolling hills being white. And if the snow lasts one more day, we'll be at about our record. I mean, the snow usually that we get comes and goes inside of 24 hours. But we got hammered here. It's beautiful. It's a novelty for us. We have a winter wonderland. And I'm sure that no grocery store has either milk or bread. I don't know why. I don't know why we run and empty out the milk and bread if it's threatening snow. As if we're going to be snowed in for the next 4 weeks. But we do. I think it's just part of our fun. So from the snowy hills of Tennessee, welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. We're reading from the Amplified Bible this week. And as I've been mentioning, we're kind of moving rapidly through some of the minor prophets as we work our way through the end of the Old Testament. We begin today the book of Jonah, which is a book of prophecy, but it has a twist. Jonah was a man in the 8th century BC who lived just north of Nazareth in the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of Jeroboam II. Nazareth, of course, is the city where Jesus grew up. And although Jonah was a prophet, his mission was not to call Israel to repentance, nor was it to forecast the destruction of Israel's enemies. His mission was to go to the land of Nineveh, enemies of God, enemies of Israel, and call them to repentance. Of course, Jonah's not all that happy about this, and his pride and fear have him on a ship sailing in the other direction in short order. The story of Jonah is famous. Jonah ends up in the belly of a whale, and after 3 days of repentance, he is spit on the shore alive. There are the obvious foreshadowings of Christ in this story. There are also obvious parallels to our own lives. When we allow fear, we talked about the fear of man yesterday. When we allow fear and pride to lead us into disobedience, we find ourselves on the run, but running from God is impossible. God loves us enough to never stop pursuing us. So although Jonah found himself in the belly of a whale, that whale became his salvation. He would have surely drowned, right? He would have absolutely drowned in the open sea. And although the journey must have been quite uncomfortable, God used the whale to deliver him alive and well on the shore. We may find our journeys similar. It's important to consider the fact that maybe God is not punishing us. Maybe God is rescuing and saving us. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. 11. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from being in the presence of the Lord as his prophet, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish, the most remote of the Phoenician trading places then known. So he paid the appointed fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from being in the presence of the Lord as his servant and minister. But the Lord sent out a great wind upon the sea, and there was a violent tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and each man cried to his God, and they cast the goods that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise! Call upon your God. Perhaps your God will give a thought to us so that we shall not perish." And they each said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us, we pray you, on whose account has this evil come upon us? Was it your occupation? Where did you come from? And what is your country and nationality?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I reverently fear and worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he fled from being in the presence of the Lord as his prophet and servant, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may subside and be calm for us?" For the sea became more and more violently tempestuous. And Jonah said to them, "Take me up and cast me into the sea. So shall the sea become calm for you. For I know that it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship to the land, but they could not, for the sea became more and more violent against them. Therefore they cried to the Lord, "We beseech you, O Lord, we beseech you, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they took up Jonah and cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And the men reverently and worshipfully feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared and appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly and said, "I cried out of my distress to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of Sheol cried I, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me." Then I said, "I have been cast out of your presence and your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the extinction of life. The abyss surrounded me. This seaweed was wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom, in the very roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit and corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted upon me, crushing me, I earnestly and seriously remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to false, useless, and worthless idols forsake their own source of mercy and loving kindness. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation and deliverance belong to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord God came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach and cry out to it the preaching that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey, 60 miles in circumference. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, "At 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed in God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth in penitent mourning from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh of all that had happened to Jonah and his terrifying message from God. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe aside, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he made proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell? God may turn and revoke his sentence against us. When we have met his terms, and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God revoked his sentence of evil, that he had said that he would do to them, and he did not do it, for he was comforted and eased concerning them. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray you, O Lord, is not this just what I said when I was still in my country? That is why I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And when sinners turn to you and meet your conditions, you revoke the sentence of evil against them. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech you, take my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, do you do well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city, and he made a booth there for himself, and he sat there under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head, to deliver him from his evil situation. So Jonah was exceedingly glad to have the protection of the gourd. But God prepared a cutworm when the morning dawned the next day, and it smote the gourd so that it withered. And when the sun arose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, so that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the loss of the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And said the Lord, you have had pity on the gourd, for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons, not yet old enough to know their right hand from their left, and also many cattle, not accountable for sin? Revelation 5, 1 through 14. And I saw lying on the open hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll, a book, written within and on the back, closed and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel announcing in a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll? And who is entitled and deserves and is morally fit to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth in the realm of the dead, Hades, was able to open the scroll or to take a single look at its contents. And I wept audibly and bitterly because no one was found fit to open the scroll or to inspect it. And one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin said to me, stop weeping. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root source of David, has won, has overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. And there between the throne and the four living creatures, the beings, and among the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, who have been sent on duty far and wide into all the earth. He then went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin prostrated themselves before the Lamb. Each was holding a harp, a lute or guitar, and they had golden bowls full of incense, fragrant spices and gums for burning, which are the prayers of God's people, the saints. And now they sing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it, for you were slain, sacrificed, and with your blood you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels on every side of the throne, and of the living creatures, and the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, and they numbered 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, "Deserving is the Lamb who was sacrificed to receive all the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and majesty, glory and splendor and blessing." And I heard every created thing in heaven and on earth and under the earth, in Hades, the place of departed spirits, and on the sea, and all that is in it, crying out together, "To him who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb, be ascribed the blessing and the honor and the majesty, the glory and splendor, and the power, might and dominion, forever and ever, through the eternities of the eternities." And the four living creatures, the beings, said, "Amen. So be it." And the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin prostrated themselves and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Psalm 133:1-3. A Song of Ascents of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment poured on the head that ran down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, the first high priest, that came down upon the collar and skirts of his garments, consecrating the whole body. It is like the dew of lofty Mount Hermon, and the dew that comes on the hills of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore, upon the high and lowly. Proverbs 29:26-27. Many crave and seek the ruler's favor, but the wise man waits for justice from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way of the Lord is an abomination to the wicked. The story of Jonah is such a powerful story, such a relevant current story, such a story that probably should at least penetrate to most of our hearts. I mean, if you take away the circumstance and just say what happened, Jonah can be overlaid onto most of our lives. God says to do something that he doesn't want to do. So he runs. He runs far. And even looking at the running far, I mean, you can run far from the Lord in a lot of ways while thinking you are still by his side. He runs far. It doesn't work. Hardship and calamity descend upon him because he's out of the will of God. He's taken himself out from under the protection of the Almighty. He's disobeying. He's revolting. So it gets rough. Ultimately, everyone around him throws him into the sea, right? Casts him off. And that should be the end. That really should be the end. Judgment should be upon him. That should be the end of him. But what was meant to destroy him, there was a savior in, and there always is. So this fish swallows him. Intense hardship, right? So you go from one hardship to a greater hardship. This would have not been a good time. 3 days in the digestive tract of a whale, as it were. Not a good time. Down in the belly of a whale now. I've never been in the belly of a whale, but not a good time, no matter how you slice it. And he cries out to God, right? So we find ourselves at the end of ourselves. All of our plan Bs, all of the things that we had insulated ourselves by and had placed our hope in and had felt were secure to protect us and our families. None of that really is safe. And so now it's all gone. Now really there is only one final place to turn. And that is to throw ourselves on the mercy of God. In extreme hardship. So what does God do? Sets him back on dry land again and says, okay, let's try this again. Let's try this again. Go do what I said to do. And he does. What else is he going to do at that point, right? And a lot of us have been in this position. Okay, I'll do it. I get it. I'll do it. And it's really interesting that he obeys. He's going to a people that are his enemy. He obviously hates these people. What he would really like is for God to rain fire down upon them so that he and his buddies can all go there. You deserved it. Gotcha. Bam. You got what you deserved. Instead, he's preaching repentance. And now the stakes are higher. If Jonah had gone to Nineveh and preached repentance in the first place, I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't reveal what might have been. But chances are that a prophet from Israel coming over to Nineveh and saying, repent, wasn't going to get that much mileage. But a prophet from Jerusalem who had been cast into the sea and swallowed by a great fish and belched up on the dry land, that's a different story. That's a wildly different story. And so this story makes it all the way to the king of Nineveh. It was like, all right, I don't know everything that's going on, but if this guy really did come up out of the sea, we better listen. And so he sits in ashes and repents. And the city is saved. The city comes to God. The city comes to God. And Jonah's mad. We can think of this in terms of co-workers. We can think of this in terms of spouses or former spouses. We can think of this in terms of neighbors or estranged family members who come to God and we feel like justice hasn't been served. They did terrible things to us. They don't deserve the mercy and grace of an almighty God who we've done our best to stay faithful to all along. So Jonah's response is to leave the city and go up on a hill and watch, see what'll happen. And he sees that God's going to be merciful and he's mad. And he starts pouting and sulking. This is the story of the children of Israel, right? We look at the scripture and we see God's mighty hand splitting the Red Sea so that they can walk through on dry land. And it's not but a couple of pages later and they're mad and griping. So here's Jonah, who has been rescued from death, absolute death, to finish what he was charged to do. And now God's going to be merciful and he's mad. This is the same kind of stuff we do. We get to, and it's sad. I mean, even before I say this, it's sad. It almost brings a tear to my eye to think of how many times I have done this in my life. And this is sort of the global posture of Western Christianity in a postmodern world where reason is everything. We may reach the end of our rope. We may reach the end of ourselves. We may have nowhere left to turn, and so we turn to the only place that seems even possible, and we turn to God. And we say from our hearts, Lord, have mercy on me. And he does. And we have faith in his righteousness and in his good heart toward us, and he restores us. Sometimes instantly, sometimes it takes a little time, but he restores us, and our faith in him is strong. But then we get our feet back under us. And we start to think, wasn't God, that was just a stroke of good fortune. Things always turn around. I'm not even sure about God anymore. And we start to reason out, well, this is how things happen. These were the circumstances that made that happen. This is why I'm back on my feet again. And we begin to deny God again. And here's Jonah, wanting justice served and pouting over the whole thing. And we want justice served too on those who have done us wrong, and when they find God, we don't rejoice with the heavens. We just keep our mouths shut and see what'll happen. We get our feet back on under us from hardship, and we move on. And invariably, life brings us right back around again, because we can't make it work on our own. We're not made that way. It's not made to work that way. Life wasn't created in such a fashion that we can just live it and be our own God. We are created in his image. We try to do it, but he won't let it happen without him. It's not made that way. So even here in this third week of Advent, where we consider the arrival of the Christ child, this week is supposed to represent joy. Glad tidings of great joy spoken to the shepherds. We find the baby Jesus and we think of the advent of Christ, the arrival of Christ, who after all of these thousands of years is finally the God of the universe saying, I will go and be one of them. I'll show what it's supposed to look like. I'll reach out and restore. It's never going to happen any other way. I'll go. I'll lay my life down. I'll be killed by my own people, the ones I've come to love. And purchase their salvation through a sinless life. I'll show them what life can be. And even still, even we who believe, we still try to make it work on our own terms. We still try to make it work within our own parameters. And we still try to dissect the Holy Word of God and say, well, this part was this and this part is that. And you can throw away this part and this part doesn't really matter anymore. And really, the only thing that matters is love. Just love. Love. Love is all you need. And we're sitting on this hill. We're Jonah all over again. And it's interesting how the book of Jonah ends. It ends with God saying, why shouldn't I spare this city? I gave you this metaphor through this gourd, this plant that rose up to shield you from the sun and then died. And you're so mad about it, you want to die. That's a bit over dramatic, Jonah, don't you think? After having been through the ordeal you've just been through and seen the power of God. Like he's already back to his old personality and self again. He's already back to where he was when he ran from God in the first place. The story seems to not end, though. It seems to be left there with a pregnant pause. And I think it's worth considering what would come next. If we were Jonah. And to maybe consider where we are now. What comes next for us? We're at the end of this year. What's it going to look like going forward? And so we come to you, Heavenly Father, heart of repentance, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, hear our prayer. We can find ourselves in this story no matter how we would like to not. And so it's not about the fact that this has been true of us. It's about what is going to happen now. And so we invite your Holy Spirit to come and lead us and to where we're going and not back around to where we've already been. We've been in the circle most of our lives. So we kind of have this down. Same story, different wallpaper. We'd like to know what the rest of life can look like. The kind of life that actually is led by faith. The kind of life that is constantly reaching out to you, knowing that there is no other way for anything to work than you show up. And our faith is strengthened, and this is the bridge. This is what you've asked us to live by, faith. This is how we get to you. And we sit here in the physical world going, this is so hard. Why did you make it work this way? But we've lost so much. Since the fall of Adam and Eve. This is how life is supposed to look. And we just consider it a hardship and an inconvenience. Rather than going, okay, this is how life is supposed to look. So this faith, I must strengthen. I must live this way. I must become comfortable in this. I must trust in my Father above that he will always show up and he is sovereign. So we commit to this posture of life. Help us. Come, Holy Spirit, make this next year a year where we grow by leaps and bounds in faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. Come and get involved. I haven't mentioned it as many times as I keep forgetting is the thing, but it's Christmas time. The Daily Audio Bible store is open. We have some pretty cool things there, especially the journals going into the next year with the reading guide and journaling your way through the Bible. There are all kinds of resources. This new collector's tumbler. This is Wind Farm Cafe on it in honor of the launch and opening of the cafe. And I'm practicing this week. So the cafe is open. It's just not officially open. It's not grand opened, but it's open. And they're over there right now practicing. So we have this tumbler that we created. Just when they're gone. And just kind of a one of a kind to launch the commemorate the launch of the Wind Farm Cafe here in Spring Hill. So before I started this today, I was like, how late can we go and still get things to arrive by Christmas? And I think that's probably just a few days today. I mean, 10 days from today is Christmas Eve. So probably 3, maybe 4 days is it. And then I'm not sure we're 100% going to get everything there by Christmas. So if there's stuff at the Daily Audio Bible store you want for Christmas, I'd say probably best to jump on over there. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible here in these last weeks of the year, I say it a lot, my heartfelt gratitude. I hope I never say my heartfelt gratitude without meaning it. I hope I don't say it so many times it just slips through my tongues and I don't think about what I'm saying. I never have yet. My heartfelt gratitude. This is a family affair. It's never been anything but it. It never will be anything but it. So thank you for, as a community, coming together in such a way that we can do what we're doing. Something that has arisen up from the dust of the internet and never been done before. A community of faith wrapped around the world based upon God's holy word. Yeah, so thank you for your partnership. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. Kind of got a little long-winded today. That Jonah story just... It's one of those stories in the scripture that, man, we should really consider. Because we are in that story. And it goes to the heart of why we do what we do. I told you back in December, at the beginning of the year, or the beginning of the month, this isn't something we can just phone in. We're not done with the Bible. We can't just set it aside and go, I almost got there. God has much to speak before this year is out. We must finish the year strong so that we can begin the next one strong. So embrace it. Dive in. I love you. Brian, I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, community. My name is Scott, and I live just to the east of Sacramento, California. Today is the 30th of November, and I'm calling seeking prayers for my wife, Paula, who, along with other volunteers, are currently in Haiti helping treat all the cholera victims of this horrible epidemic that has taken place there. So I just pray that the community will lift up Paula and everyone else that's out there serving. As far as those of us behind, my kids and I, we would love to hear from her. There's no communications, but we trust in God. And even though we haven't heard from her, we feel confident that she's safe and everything is well. And over the next few days before she returns, that she can make an impact for God in that community there that has suffered so much and is currently suffering now. And also pray that others will heed the call and be willing and able to serve their time and efforts, that they can also help people as this is nowhere near an end. This epidemic seems to be only now reaching its peak and will go on for a while, so more is needed, so hopefully more people will be able to go out and treat these people and save lives in the name of God. Thank you, community, and God bless.
Hello, my name's Yvonne from California, and I haven't called her for a while. My dad died in August, so I need to pray for my mother. My brothers are taking her money. And also, my son's falling back to the world, and he's got two kids, so he needs prayer. And I need prayer to just not fall apart myself just because of all this. I'm going to renew my strength with a Christian supernatural, just to listen to God. So I'm just praying. We need help. We need prayer. Again, if you didn't hear me, my mom needs prayer. My brothers took her money, about $300,000 after my dad died. It's her money. And my son needs, he fell back. He's a Christian. He's starting to drink. And he's got two kids. And I just need prayer. Thank you. Please pray for me, all you community. I love you all. Thank you so much.